The reading today is taken from Esther, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to the half the kingdom it will be given to you." "If it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." "Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king asked Esther again, "Now what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom it will be granted." Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this: if the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." This is the word of the Lord.
So, Esther. So all through August, we've been looking at women in the Old Testament. And this morning, we're looking at the story of Esther. Esther is the only other book to be written, to be named after a woman. So what's the other one? We've got Esther and Ruth. Yeah, I think you had Ruth a couple of weeks ago when I wasn't here. So you've done Ruth, and now we're looking at Esther. Essentially, if you're going to sum up Esther, not necessarily its storyline, its narrative, but what it's about sort of theologically, it's essentially about the interplay between God's sovereignty, this idea of God being in charge of things, and human will. This idea that God has this kind of big plan that's mapped out, and we get to be part of that. So we can choose to act. So it's an opportunity, we can choose to take it, or we can choose not. We have free will, God is sovereign, and we have free will. And it's kind of the interplay between those two things. That's a pretty big theme within this very ancient story. And we had a little snippet in the reading of this story, but I thought it'd be good to have the whole of the book of Esther. But because it's quite long, I've borrowed Ted's Bible, the Beginner's Bible, and we're going to have the whole of the story of Esther from the Beginner's Bible with pictures. So you get to see the pictures up there that I've got on here. So you get the nice pictures with the big white eyes. So, the Brave Queen. This is what this story is called, The Brave Queen. Esther was Jewish. That means she was an Israelite, one of God's people. She lived in the land of Persia with her older cousin, Mordecai. So there's Esther, and there's her cousin with the big beard, Mordecai. The king of Persia, another big beard, this time white, needed a new queen. Actually, he needed a few, but we won't go into that. He announced, "Bring me the most beautiful woman from all over my kingdom." Esther was one of the women sent to the palace. When the king met Esther, he chose her to be his queen. Haman, so here we have another man in a beard, this time brown. Haman was the king's chief helper. He's a baddie, boo. He hated the Jewish people. They were God's people. Haman wanted everyone to bow down to him. One day, Mordecai, remember that's Esther's cousin, refused to bow down to Haman. Boo. Mordecai would only bow down to God. Haman went to the king and he said, "The Jews are bad people. You should sign a law that will help me get rid of them." So the king signed the new law. He just pretty much went along with what anybody said. God's people were in great danger. That's putting it mildly. Mordecai heard about the new law. He ran to tell Esther, "You must save yourself and the rest of God's people. Perhaps God has made you the queen for this reason." So Esther came up with a plan. It would be very risky for her. Esther invited the king and Haman to a special dinner. Then she asked the king, "Why does Haman want to get rid of me?" The king was surprised. And she said, "I am Jewish. Haman tricked you into signing a new law that would get rid of all the Jews." The king told his guards, "Arrest Haman." Then he made Mordecai his new chief helper. He told Queen Esther, "I will make a new law that will keep you and your people safe." God used Esther to save his people. The end. God used Esther to save his people. Get all my notes in the right order now. Okay. So Mordecai, Esther's cousin, and all the Jewish people, all God's people, are in grave danger. I mean, what the children's Bible story doesn't tell you is that basically ethnic cleansing is about to go on. That kind of doesn't really come across with the nice pictures, does it? But that's what's going on. The whole Jewish race is about to be eradicated. And Esther is in this unique position because she has made her way into the king's palace as one of the king's wives, plural, as one of the queens. And so she is Jewish, and yet she's in this position. And she realizes, because her cousin points this out, that actually maybe God has done this on purpose. Maybe there's a reason why she is in this position. And then she has a choice. Because actually it's really risky. You might think, well, she's the queen, so that's not risky. Surely she can have what she wants. But that's not how it worked in this society. The king called the shots. The queens weren't even allowed to see the king unless it pleased him. And if they approached him when he wasn't in the right mood, they could be killed. So this was really risky. It's hard for us to imagine that kind of scenario, isn't it? But this is what was going on in the ancient world. So she chooses to act. She takes great courage, and she risks her own life. And what happens as a result is that a whole nation, God's people, are saved. So she is a powerful, courageous, intelligent woman. So what can we learn from Esther? That's what I just want to look at this morning. 3 points. First of all, I think we need to be open to advice and willing to act. So Esther's cousin comes to her and says, "Perhaps God has made you for a moment like this." And you can almost imagine that conversation that's kind of charged with possibility and excitement, and yet also with great fear. Because we don't get the kind of undertones of self-doubt that Esther might be going through, but she's human, so she would be going through those things. And she's thinking, but should I really? I mean, maybe it would just be a waste of time, because then I'd be killed and God's people would be killed. Maybe it's not going to gain anything. Is God calling you to something? I remember when somebody first said to me, "Phil, do you think God is calling you to be ordained?" And I knew that that was the furthest thing from my mind a few months before. But that God had taken me on a journey, showing me things that I could do, the gifts that he'd given me, and that maybe this was an opportunity to use them. And I took that step and carried on that journey. And that's obviously quite a big life-changing thing, but perhaps there is something to do with the position that you are in right now in your life, your position within your family, your position within where you work, your position within your neighborhood, your position within the church, where God is calling you to take a step. God is calling you to do something. He's put things in place in such a scenario that you can do something. Now, it might be, like it was for Esther, a terrible situation. She's not in a great situation where, oh, God's opening doors. You know, we talk about that, oh, God's opened a door so that you can walk through. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it feels like all the doors are closing, and yet God calls you to open a door. You have to do the opening. Maybe you're in a situation like that where God is calling you to do something. Are we willing to be open to advice and willing to act? That's the first thing. Secondly, to plan carefully. That's sometimes overlooked in this story of Esther. We look at her courage, but also she's an intelligent lady. She doesn't just kind of wade straight in there. She thinks about it carefully and she makes a plan. She has this kind of two-step process where she kind of invites them to come together for a meal, then she invites them to another one. She doesn't do it straight away. She bides her time. She thinks about it. She's wise and she takes the right steps. Also, we find in the book of Esther that she asks the whole community to pray and fast. So she doesn't do this on her own. So she's taking steps in something that is dangerous, but she says to the whole Jewish people, you need to pray as well. I'm going to do this, but you all need to pray for this situation, and you all need to fast, because this is really important. So for Esther, it's about community. And it's like that for us too. Whatever we're going through in life, whether it's something really positive, whether it's something negative, we need to ask our community to pray for us and to stand with us in it. So if you're in a house group, that's a great opportunity to say to your house group, I'm about to take this step, or this is going wrong for me at the moment, or this is happening in my family or at work. Please will you pray, and to gather people around you. This Christian journey that we're on isn't meant to be done on our own. We're meant to do it in community. We need each other. And Esther knew that all that time ago, that to get the community around her. I was thinking about this in terms of our church vision, in terms of where we're going as a church. And we came up with that strap line of loving and growing, which kind of sums up what we're about as a church. That we know we're loved by God, and we're called to love others, and we're called to love God with everything we have. And we're called to grow in our faith, to grow disciples. And we know that as we do that, as we love and as we grow in our faith, that God will grow the church. Now, I was thinking about that in terms of this idea of planning carefully. And Esther's model of getting people to pray, of recognizing that it's bigger than just one person or a small group of people, that everybody needs to be on board. That it takes people, that it takes planning, that you need to review things, that sometimes you fail and you need to learn from your mistakes. And in doing all of that, that's how you grow. It's not easy, it's not necessarily quick, it might take years, but it's a process that we're on and something that I'm really excited about. So to plan carefully is the second thing. And the third thing, the final thing, is to be courageous. Essentially, Esther had to come to a point where she said, yes, I'm going to do it. Even though it's going to put my life in danger, I'm going to take that step. Essentially, she chooses to put others' needs and others' welfare above her own. That's what it comes down to, doesn't it? She has to say, well, even though I might risk my life in doing this, it's worth it because if it works out, then the whole of God's people get saved. She's able to see the bigger picture that's beyond her own self, her own individual safety. I think sometimes that we live in a culture now where we're quite risk-averse. We're in the culture of risk assessments, aren't we? And health and safety. And we can be quite risk-averse. We are often concerned with preserving ourselves, our own dignity perhaps. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be in a situation where we might fail. And we live in uncertain times as well, don't we? We're bombarded by the news that tells us that terrible things are happening around the world, and it can lead us to feel very fearful. But I was thinking about two people who overcame their fear at difficult times to create good outcomes. And they both have similar names. One is Martin Luther. The other is Martin Luther King Jr. And I was thinking about these two men and how they both risked so much in stepping out. Think about Martin Luther, who was in a world where religion was going on in a certain way, and there were things that he saw that weren't right, and God met him and transformed his life, and he was given that boldness to step out and say, no, this isn't right. That actually, God loves us, and it's faith alone in Jesus that can save us. We don't need to pay the church to get forgiveness for sins. We don't need to pay the church to get our loved ones out of hell and into heaven. And this whole revolution that changed Europe and the rest of the world forever was started by that one man being courageous enough to take the act. And then, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. Again, a time of great unrest, stepping out and putting his life at risk because he believed in something that he believed was right and that he felt God was calling him to do. These people should be an inspiration to us, just as Esther should be an inspiration to us. Are we willing to put others' needs before ourselves? And obviously we have the ultimate example of this in Jesus, don't we? Jesus willing to go through the pain and agony of the cross to see the bigger picture of humanity, and in fact the whole of creation, the whole of the cosmos, saved and redeemed through his pain and his suffering and his own death. And we know that that wasn't an easy step to take, because we're given that picture of him in the garden, sweating drops of blood because he is so fearful and so apprehensive about what he's going to go through. Not just the physical pain of being on the cross and the public shame and humiliation, but actual descending to hell itself. the spiritual stuff that we don't even know about that he went through, in order to break the power of sin and death, in order that we can know Jesus in this life and in the next life. That is our ultimate inspiration, to be courageous and to step out and to know that we don't need to be trapped by fear. We can be free from fear. That song that we sung at the beginning said, "You are good, you are good." And sometimes it can be hard to sing that, can't it? Because maybe things are going wrong in our lives, or we're suffering grief or loss or illness. And it can be hard to sing that. But it's not "you are good because everything's going well in my life." It's "you are good because you went to the cross, you went to the grave, you rose again, and death is defeated." So even if life is hard and painful and difficult, death is defeated, so you are good. Ultimately, the end will be good. That's what the end of this story tells us. Even in this version of the Bible, we know that there's a new heaven and a new earth, and that all things are made well. And that if things aren't good now, it's because it's not the end. But the end is coming, and we carry that hope in us, and it gives us hope even in the most challenging situations. So we need to be open to advice and willing to act. We need to plan carefully. We need to use our brains. God's given us brains and he wants us to use them. And we need to be courageous. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Esther. And we thank you for her bravery and her courage. We thank you for her wisdom, her intellect. We thank you, Lord, that you placed her in a particular situation at a particular time, and that you called her to act, and that she chose to do that. I pray that we would be inspired by her courage to take those opportunities that you give us, and that we would be inspired by your life and your death and your resurrection and your ascension, the fact that you've sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. In fact, in the New Testament, we read, Lord, that when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, the translation of power is courage. And so I pray that this morning, that each of us here would receive the Holy Spirit, that power that is courage to stand up for you, to stand up for what is right, to move beyond fear and self-preservation. Lord, help us to step out as individuals and as your church so that we can follow your call. Yes, to be blessed ourselves, but to be blessed in order to be a blessing, to be your people in your world, bringing your hope and love to the hurting, to the poor, and to the lost. And for those of us this morning that are here carrying pain, carrying heavy loads, Lord, would you meet those people now by your Spirit, and would you touch their hearts and reassure them of your love and your care for them? Reassure them of the hope that is available in you, and through your Holy Spirit, be their comfort. And through us as a community, Lord, would you help us to love each other well? Would you help us to be a people that are open, people that listen, and a people that love? May we be inspired by you, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.